week of talking.
Yeah, been popular.
I can't say I don't like it. But then I thought about it, I'm like, I haven't made any money this week because I've been talking about design but not doing it.
Well, hey, once again, we will have you speak more about design and not pay you. That is what this show is all, that is what the Reflex Blue Show is all about. I am your host, Donovan Beery, and I am here to have Steve talk about design and not pay him.
True story.
And with that, we have Steve Gordon.
What's up?
Joe Sperano.
Hello.
And Ashley McFeely. How are you guys doing today?
Hey, great.
Good.
Now,
good.
Where have you been speaking at this week, Steve?
I was at University of Nebraska, Omaha twice. I had several other meetings that weren't necessarily work-related, but work-related. And then here at the good old Reflex Blue Show.
Oh, I thought you got to, like, travel to talk.
No. It was just around town. But okay. That's cool.
Yeah, that's fine.
He was actually a guest speaker at my class.
That's right.
And what class?
What's the official name of the class? It's Graphic Design 3.
Okay.
I don't know that explains much, but...
Well, it explains that they're not... That they've been in the program.
They're not Graphic Design 1.
Right. Yeah, it explains that they're not 2. Yeah.
It explains it's probably near the end.
Close.
Yes.
Because you can learn everything you need in this profession in 3 courses.
It's true.
3 easy steps.
3 very easy steps.
Right. Okay.
Well, especially now that Steve has spoken in the class, they know everything they need to know.
Right.
That was part of the...
That was our final.
My Instagram was like, I'm going to hold back. These little bastards took all my secrets.
That's why you're not making any money.
Exactly.
You're giving away all your secrets.
I'm giving away my job. Oh, no.
Steve brings his client with him. Client leaves with a student.
Exactly. I'm definitely in some midlife crisis action right now.
Yeah. Man. All right. Well, we're going to speak about, actually, I guess, teaching. Is that Joe?
I would really like to talk about teaching.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I haven't taught in like 4 or 5 years now. It's been a while.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Just ran out of time. You know, you have to cut mm-hmm. things out, and so...
Like
know.
Jobs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, teaching is
like
a
jobs? Like jobs. What? Like chain professions all together?
Yeah. I mean, I was teaching part-time while I was still at Oxide, and it was a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good transition. Like, mm-hmm. I liked being able to do it part-time.
Yeah.
But I couldn't do both forever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Understandable.
And now I'm doing full-time teaching, which is a whole new thing. Just been doing it for the last couple months. And so now it's finding that balance of doing design and teaching, because you got to still do design to teach design. And,
right.
Yeah, well, only if you want to teach it well.
Right. That's true.
If you want your students to respect you.
Yeah.
Do you find is it like not just from the years gone by or the maturity standpoint, but... Is it so much different than when you were, say, working a regular job and moonlighting on the side? Now as an instructor, a teacher, a professor, and then doing design on the side, is that side work less about just staying active and it really is important to you?
Oh, it is. I mean, if I don't design for a few weeks, like I feel like I've lost something.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I feel a responsibility as a teacher to keep designing. Forever.
See, that's so cool. That's why I asked that, because I remember working, you know, the corporate job, and it was like, this is just to stay fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're working at a studio, and this is the work that the studio doesn't do. The side gig was always just a side gig, but now it seems like your side work would be absolutely important.
It is. I agree. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, we've all been there. Like, as students, we've seen, like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the person that's telling me what I should know about design, and I don't, you know, it's...
You don't want to be the fat coach.
I don't think...
Like, run 3 miles, Slurpee,
right.
Burger.
No, that's a great analogy.
Rex Ryan over there on the sidelines.
Right, because it's hard to take instruction from that coach. Like, that's why, as a track coach, I mm-hmm. stay in shape, partly for health benefits and, you know, good reasons, but also for credibility. I can't tell my kids to do something that's I wouldn't great. Be willing to do.
Yeah. I don't think any of the teachers I had like did a lot of design on the side, mm-hmm. but they all did right. like every now and then, like even if it would be, there'd be a show in the school art department and all of a sudden it's like, why is the teacher doing it? And then I realized later, oh, because it's like, you want to do something, but he doesn't have a lot of time either. So it'd be like, well, I can do a postcard. You know, I have time to do that.
Yeah.
Well, again, my reason for asking the importance is if you were kind of what I talked to your students about, Ashley, mm-hmm. when if you were a doctor or a lawyer, this would be called getting published. This would be part of your profession, mm-hmm. as an instructor, as a professor. Then part of your tenure, part of your responsibility is to write papers, get published, be in journals, stay current, but not just current, but also be recognized as validation, as professional accreditation.
Right.
And so instead of it just being a side gig, that's how I feel it would be important, because it's like your way of being published as an instructor.
Right. And maybe I feel like there are those kind of benchmarks that are set for art teachers where they have like their shows for faculty.
Yeah.
Or maybe that's not quite as common as
it's where I was.
Yeah, I think it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you find that it's not that for designers?
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. I've been teaching now for 3 years, and I feel like it's not part of the responsibility of being a teacher is not forced on me to create something.
Right.
Like, oh, you have this thing, we'd like you to participate in order to show the students what you're capable of.
Right.
Like, that's not something that's mandated on you. I feel like
if you are adjunct, but if you're full-time, like if you are faculty, it is something. You know, if you are going for tenure, that's your responsibility.
And that's good.
Well, like around here, they only hire adjuncts that are in the field.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
or,
true.
Or that have recently been in the field. Like,
right.
So it's kind of understood, like, you're still designing, right?
Right. Right. Yeah. Wink, wink. Not
You've
right.
designed in the last, like, couple years, right?
Right.
Right.
So then for a full professorship, that's actually kind of a line item thing, is that you're not just expected, but they want proof that you've been still
participating. Right. If you're on the tenure track, that's part of your responsibility.
That's great.
Participation in the field.
Yeah, looking for what's been published and where you've
been
active. But I think regardless if you are on the tenure or not, what I really, really like about the teacher community, the instructor community in the design or like the fine arts or whatever, is that I think we've taken on a personal responsibility, or the good ones have taken on a personal responsibility of, you have to stay, like, I hate this word, but like, you have to stay relevant. You have to stay current, because otherwise you're teaching irrelevant information and nobody wants to be taught things from the past.
Today in class, we'll be looking at Quark 3.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Open your
textbook. And that's what your stuff will look like.
Right.
And it'll be just, it won't be fun for you. It won't be fun for your students.
I'm glad that came up, because that was something that I was, in your class, I didn't expect to answer that question that way, because the young lady's father was a doctor.
Right.
And we were talking about the professional courtesy of passing work along to someone who has a specialty that you might not have, not just grabbing hold of a job just for the money or the work, but if it's not your thing, you pass it along. And she brought up a good point. She was like, well, my dad's a doctor and they do that anyway. If someone comes to him and it's not his specialty, as a professional courtesy, he refers them to someone else.
Right, right.
And I'm like, we are in a profession that is still so very young that we, even the professionals, act like children. We don't refer work all the time.
Oh, we've done it before when there's something. I mean, if something kind of fits, we'll take it. But there's been projects that come in and it's like, that is not what we
do. You're a rarity, though. I know a lot of places would either keep it or bury it. I worked at a studio close at hand here in the radius that would literally turn away a project and you'd hear nothing of referral. It was, what's your budget? That's not enough for us. Thanks. Have a good day. Mm. Not,
right,
check out this shop.
There's you a different version of that.
Exactly.
Answer.
Yeah.
Well, it depends. I mean, they have to explain something. I actually know someone that would be a good fit for.
Right.
Like if they call up and I'm like, you know,
I don't know anyone that does that. Yeah.
But we work with a lot of lawyers here for some reason. I don't know why, but. And they're all the same, I found out, is like all lawyers have a specialty, and if they don't do it,
they don't do it.
They just call their buddies.
Yeah, absolutely. Yet another profession we brought up in class.
Yeah.
Doctors, lawyers. It's so funny that when someone says, I'm a professional, you think of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow we're professionals, but design doesn't get pulled into professional ranks.
If there were lawyer software, maybe it would be different. I'm a lawyer now.
That's our downfall. We're so dependent upon software that they think we're still playing
around.
I think
it's because there's no.
You guys haven't done
it's
this.
It's because there's not 100 kids in town that just say, I have the software, I can do it for you, sir.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true.
I will get you off of this murder case. Maybe it's also that there's 8,000 lawyer shows on TV.
That's true. And only like 3 designer shows. Two of which are fashion.
And one of which has Robin Williams on it or something.
We're kind of parodies. Oh, yeah. Everything is either Mad Men or Robin Williams. Yeah. Crazy People or Mad Men. Okay, that's everybody's thought about how agencies work. Yeah. Weird.
What's the only way we look at on TV?
That's true.
All right, we'll be right back.
So, Steve, I really liked what you were bringing up just about our profession being a really young profession. I think that, I mean, it really is.
Yeah.
Just the history of it. But I don't think we always step back and realize that. And I think there's a lot of freedom that comes from that because we're talking about students that are coming in and like being an instructor and what do you teach and where guidelines there are. But if we look at it from the perspective of we're such a young field still.
And I'm looking at like, since most of our work is like, it's always been web design. That profession only is like, what, just a couple years older than me.
Maybe.
Older than when I got in there.
Brand spanking new. Like,
I know the web was around before then, but like web design.
Yeah, really designing for it. You're talking maybe within the last 10 years.
Like, we're still making up rules.
But even me, like, when I learned it in college, when I picked it up in college, it was like, oh, people have only been doing this for like 2 years.
Right. Right. Exactly.
I will be the best.
I will be the best by default.
It's a reason. Like,
I'm better than you.
Well, it's a reason, like, I graduate and I go in there and there's like a Fortune 500 company. I mean, moved here to do the website because they're like, we can't find anybody because it's too new.
Huh.
It's like,
absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
I'm the most experienced guy you can find. Yes. How long have you been doing it? 3 months.
Even from the standpoint of like even things that started to congeal and solidify in terms of, say, branding. I was just driving past HDR and it made me smile because I remember getting the project from my boss to do the brand guidelines, which they have. I still love that logo. It's one of my favorites. And they were like, we need to do new brand guidelines. You're going to be the brand steward. Your job for the next 9 months is going to be to pull everything together, ditch the old logos, ditch anything bad, build the archive, tell us exactly, you know, spacing, lines, fonts, everything. Good, good. And it was a huge task for me because even then, say 12 years ago, branding wasn't being talked about like it is now.
Right.
So a company that had been around forever had a great identity, didn't have a brand, an identifiable brand. So use of the marks and solidifying all that stuff was just then getting new. And I had already graduated. I didn't learn that in school. I learned that on the job. Like, oh, by the way, don't screw up. You're getting paid for this. And, you know, you could lose your job if it goes all wrong. But do a good job. So, yeah, we're super young as a profession. And we are a profession, but we don't often see ourselves that way. We're not presenting ourselves that way. And I think that's where we get a lot of the flux. You know, we get a lot of the funny, silly little topics that we all kind of bitch and moan about because we're still in an infancy or in an adolescence as a profession. And so things that other professionals don't necessarily fixate on, we do.
Right.
You know, we all have from the last, 20 years, you know, print's been dying for how long? Typefaces versus fonts, you know, in-house versus studio. Got it. Check. The subject matter's not changing.
Right.
It's the same stuff because right now we're the seniors in high school and the young ones are just graduating middle school and they'll be here soon. And we're super young as a profession. And like we were talking, you know, in the break, Rand, Bass, these are the ones who have passed on.
Our design heroes. So
our design heroes are recently passed on, and they were, what do we say, 60, you know, 70. And then we've got Paula Shears and Willoughby's. We've got, you know, name some more.
Well, Bruce Mao.
Mao.
In my history book. Sagmeister. I went to see him.
Uh-huh.
I was like a student. And I'm mm-hmm. like, and he's in your history, in my history book. I'm like, he's not old.
Right. Like,
he's not.
I just saw that guy the other day.
And I think our history books are being written by like Armin Witt.
Yeah,
like,
literally. Right here. And now. We know him.
Well, I think what's exciting about that is that the understanding of what design is changing constantly. Mm-hmm. And so we learn to respect people like Bruce Mao who are kind of redefining, like,
Sure. Well,
right. design is not necessarily just advertising right. something or, like, making someone aware of something coming up. Like, it's about solving a problem. It's about identifying something that can be changed in the world and finding an opportunity to fix it.
Yeah.
There may not be a visual solution at all.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. That's actually exciting. Most times there's not. And I think that's where, like you said, it is exciting because we're just now finding that out. And that sounds like old knowledge. It sounds like, oh wow, Joe, that's cool. You know? Where'd you read that? Oh, we were just talking about it yesterday.
Right.
You know, over coffee.
Because right.
it's almost like a time of enlightenment for our profession where it's kind of a golden age where people are coming together about this. They're philosophizing about these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the Plato and Socrates type of thing where they're discussing things that are now going to be set for the next 200 years.
Right.
And a lot of it's been in the last 10 years when Apple just dominated Microsoft and everyone's like, how'd they do that? Oh, it's this thing called design. Oh, what does that mean? I
don't wait know. Wait a
second. Right.
Yeah.
Well, this whole like phenomenon of like a citizen designer. You know, mm-hmm. designers that care about their community and care about more than just advertising a product. And,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a result, I think, of our global community, like you're talking about, the
yeah.
technology that we have now, the connections that we can instantly connect
yeah.
with people from other countries. And it's changing, as an instructor, it's changing the way that I even teach design. You know, like as a student, I know that I was big, like focused on detail stuff, like typography
right.
and kerning
right.
and like, you know, push up my glasses over like, letting and right. all that good stuff, you know, and I get out of it. And those things are still important, but it's become less about aesthetics for me and more about what are you actually communicating,
right.
what your message is.
Right. Yeah, you used to be the coolest thing walking
oh,
if
awesome.
You could absolutely, if you could just say Helvetica.
Right.
What?
Right.
Yeah.
Helvetica. You didn't have to know what you were talking about. Just say
Helvetica.
Helvetica
is different than Arial.
Yeah.
Wow.
A lot. Just say that a lot. Ooh.
I assume that you know everything about design because you
yeah.
know that fact.
Exactly.
We're on Helvetica News.
Yeah, Helvetica News. Yeah, you don't even know how to pronounce
noise.
It. There. It's noise.
We know so much about design right now.
We're so designers right now.
We're all wearing berets. It's wonderful.
That's great.
Well, when I was a student, I don't remember anyone ever saying to me, the purpose of what you're doing is to communicate something.
Never
nice.
Once.
Start
yeah.
with that.
Yeah, never once. And my degree, as I said in Ashley's class, my degree actually says communication in the title. And I was
right.
still never told that's what I was doing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it was sort of the underlying principle. Like, you can see that's the purpose of why I'm...
Mm-hmm.
That's why they asked me to design a logo
mm-hmm.
or design an annual report. But
mm-hmm.
it wasn't until I was a professional that I understood, oh, well, if I start with that, then all of the things that I do after that have a reason for being.
Right. Or I've made this beautiful thing that no one can read.
Right.
You know, I was mm-hmm. on an annual report very early on in my career, and we did the most beautiful thing. I swear it had 18 different colors and varnishes and this and that.
Right.
It was going to win an award. We were designing for other designers.
Right.
Right.
But the constituents, the readers, the investors, it made no sense to them.
Hmm.
So,
did you get actual feedback?
Yeah, we had to strip it down. We had to strip it all the way back.
That's great.
And so it was a
constant
battle.
As he watched
battle.
Himself losing his award.
Right. And I was more concerned with not losing my job. I was like, awards can go. Paycheck stays.
That's,
and
yeah,
that's nice. So it was good to have. And you know where I learned that? Again, in-house at HDR. The CEO, he was great, but he was brash. He was straight to the point. And he did the, I don't get it. I'm like, what do you mean you don't get it? It's beautiful, man. Look at
mm-hmm.
this thing. It's awesome. It's going to, oh, you're going to love it. Just trust us, trust us, trust us. That's fine, but I damn well better be able to read it. Oh, you can't read that. You can't read that. The metallic type is literally reflecting off of the page, and the page is white. Oh, my God, he can't read that. We can't read that. We were designing for other designers,
mm-hmm.
and we needed to dial it back for the message.
Now, there's a time to do that, though. And I love it when it works out.
Sometimes.
But it's rarer than you think.
It's very
right.
rare.
Yeah.
Even to the point where it's not as fulfilling because I've done that. I've designed for designers. I've knocked it out of the park. I've got an award. And for as many people liked it or those four judges in that room that loved it, there were 100 other designers that were like, screw Steve. Well, who did this?
Right.
I could have done
this
that.
For?
I did this 2 years ago. Blah, blah, blah. It was instant haters, you know? So designing for other designers almost always fails. Or in the instance that you design it and you don't think is, I remember being at an AIGA Awards and it was you, Nate, and a few other people. And I was just about to leave. I was checking out. I'm like, all right, guys, later. I'm gone. And they were like, well, congrats. What do you mean, congrats? You got a silver. It's hanging on the wall over there. No, I didn't. Later, guys. Funny joke. I hate you guys as much as I did before. And it was true when I had, it was funny when I stopped designing for designers, I won an award.
Yeah.
It was the craziest thing.
Well, this is what makes it really exciting for me is that you can argue, you can have preferences about aesthetics. You can say you like it or you don't, or that varnish or it doesn't, or the right. colors and that type and whatever. You can argue about aesthetics, and there's going to be haters, and there's going to be lovers.
Absolutely.
But you can't argue if a message says what it's supposed to say.
Yep. Right.
And yep. I think that's where, I think there, I don't know if I'm, maybe I'm saying extreme too much yet. But I want to see a shift in design with that.
We don't say extreme enough. We need to get back on the mountain.
I used to do that a lot, didn't we?
Extreme a lot.
Extreme.
We need a button. We need a soundboard.
Yeah, we need soundboard back.
You have an echo for that.
Can you echo my voice right now?
In post.
Oh, yeah, do it in post. Say all right.
Extreme.
That thing's good.
Now I got to figure out the echo. Maybe I always did that part of it.
I'll just say extreme a bunch.
Yeah, just like, why yeah, did she say make your own echo. It's extreme.
We got extreme there.
That was awesome. Yeah, did we say enough?
But anyway, I do want to see a shift in that. I want to see a shift, and I stress it in my classes, because I want to see that shift, and I'm probably teaching toward my preferences, but I think it's the way design is going, of what's your communication statement? Aesthetics, they are what they are, they're your preference, but does it say what it's supposed to say?
Yeah, like you said, you can't argue with that, it's the fundamentals.
Right.
You know, you can do 2 plus 2, you can do 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1, you know, it's,
yeah.
It's gonna add up, you can take different routes, but there's something actuarial, there's something very measurable about fundamentals.
There's a phrase that I've been trying to get people to adopt, and it sounds sort of condescending, but I don't think it is. I think it's about underscoring that shift, about there being graphic design, which communicates something specific intentionally, and then there's graphic decoration, which is it's appealing, it's interesting, it actually serves a purpose in drawing someone into something,
right.
But it's different than design.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
It's a different type of design, yeah.
Graphic decoration.
I have a t-shirt that says that.
Really?
No.
Now you do.
I will after this shirt.
I mean, they have a term for, like, people who do this professionally, which is design, and people who do it because they have software, which is desktop publishing. So, you know.
Yeah, right. Well, I think it's important, especially for students, to understand that there is a difference in that unless they're communicating something specific, they aren't designing.
Right.
And it's actually, there are people that I know that are very good graphic decorators. Like, I'm a terrible decorator. And I would refer someone on if a client called.
Right.
But I wish students understood that difference so that they could isolate what they're good at, follow something they're passionate about. I think graphic decoration is a skill that people should be proud of.
Yeah, not unlike production art. You know, that's a skill.
Yeah, but I mean, it's almost like certain people, actually, that's actually what they want.
Yeah.
When they say, I want a designer, they actually want someone
They want decoration.
And so I think that shift could be facilitated by understanding the difference from students, and it'd be great if clients understood that. I want a decorator. Right. And then you don't have the designer being disappointed in trying to design something. And
because nothing's worse than that when you're also, when you're like, we got the perfect solution, you're pitching it to them, and they're like, No, I wanted this to look cool.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Problem solved. No.
Right.
I'm going to need some curly cues in there.
Right.
You got any flourishes?
Again, which is okay, and that's all about the understanding at the beginning. Right. What is the client hiring me for? What am I good at?
Right.
Can I provide that? What do they want?
No, I think that's good. There was one of the, I'm not sure which old master said it, but there was a quote to the effect that design is the marriage between art and science. The science is the actual, the research, the more analytical side, solving for X.
Having a goal.
Exactly.
Testing.
You know, testing. Yeah, this thing has to balance out or it's going to be mush.
Uh-huh.
You know, this thing has to read on some sort of scale that's measurable.
Yeah.
And the art part makes it a bit beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, it borrows a bit from art.
And it
but
should.
It's mostly science. Yeah.
It should, too. Yeah. It should. Design is still, I think, just by having solved a problem, it's appealing.
And visual,
like,
communication.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I want to look at this thing because it's saying something to me.
Yep. That's the one thing that drew me to it from architecture. Because, you know, my instructors in architecture would always say it can be beautiful and it'll kill people. Because it has to stand. It has
to. I was in architecture too.
Yeah, and yeah. So it has to be functional.
I think you just heard science and math or science and art, and you just was like, oh, let's get the math.
Yeah, I was like,
yeah, that was my reasoning.
All right, we'll be right back. All right, well, let's go back to this teaching thing as we wrap up this show. Now, I actually went to college originally to go into, like, art education.
Oh, really?
And switched before I actually had to take any education classes.
You've been holding on to that.
So, it's, well, I mean, you know, there's a lot of teachers in my family and stuff, and as they go back, and my sister teaches full-time and stuff, but it was one of these things where I actually then moved, and I realized I don't think I could deal with the administration part of it and the full-time thing. I was like, I don't know, so I switched in. Before I actually started getting, you know, I took general studies in art for like 2 years. And right where it got to that point, yeah, I actually switched into design. But I've taught since then. It was fun. Mm-hmm. And I realized, as like, it's fun. You get a lot out of it. The more you put into it, the more you get out of it. Mm-hmm. But I also realized that I don't think I could do it full time. But you guys, you two, Ashley, Joe, you guys are looking at, like, yeah, are you guys both going to grad school to do this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be starting in the fall and going after a master's in communication.
Wow. Where do you get a degree in this area, or do you have to go remote?
In this area, you can get a master's, I believe, in Lincoln.
I mean, where are you going?
I'm going to UNO, but I'm getting my master's in communication instead of graphic design.
Oh, yeah, because I forget, like, one of my teachers was actually a studio art master, because they, you know, you can teach in something that's somewhat related.
That's very cool.
And that's, yeah, that's what I want. That's cool. I feel like with graphic design, you can get your bachelor's, you can have experience through it, but I want to supplement the design part of it, and I'm just putting it into, like, the visual communication versus the verbal communication. It's just where I see my, like, design stuff going, you know, again, like, going back to those statements I was saying, that I want design to actually say something, and so understanding how people communicate, interpersonal communication, it just makes sense for me. So that's where I'm going after.
That's really cool. Has there been a shift of going from the professional design world into teaching and now being a student and a teacher at the same time?
Well, student stuff starts potentially in a couple months. So I haven't had that experience yet, but it has been a shift. I mean, even going from designing for a full-time job, teaching part-time, and now teaching for a full-time job, it is a shift because you do have to be more intentional, I think, in doing design, you know, on the side, and not just, like you said, fitting it into the margins.
Yeah.
I'd
be interested to hear how that, because I remember my instructor when I was in college, she was both my instructor, my counselor, and became a personal friend because of all of that.
Uh-huh.
She was going through getting her master's remotely from Kent State. And so
From the Saki O'Grady's?
I think it was before them.
Oh, okay.
I think they would have been students at that time.
Okay, I guess Ken teaches there. Jen teaches somewhere.
Yeah, she teaches. Yeah. But it was really interesting to watch her mental process switch into class, then counseling me, and then toward the end of our scholastic counseling sessions, then I would watch her become the student, and then we had something in common. It was really strange to watch her, literally behind her eyes, you could see the switch go tick. Okay, can I talk to you about class? Because this is really stumping me. I'm like, wow, I'm having a scholastic conversation with my instructor, counselor, who is now student, and she's fretting like I am about my bachelor's, about her master's.
That's cool. See, yeah. I think that's cool that you had that experience. On the other side, I'm just imagining myself in that, and it's really hard for me to take that instructor hat off.
Mm.
You know, when I see students outside of the classroom, or, like, I see them all the time, you know, concerts and stuff. And then I'm like, well, am I their teacher? Am I just, like, at a concert, too? And I don't know, but I'm excited for it. And, I mean, I'm already doing some steps with my students of taking, like, assessments, like, you know, so I can have some, like, I told them, like, potentially to use for, like, quantitative research, you know, just asking how they work together in groups, but still about design. And that's my hope, is that as I pursue this stuff that it's like our side interests anyway. Like you have like with right. clothing and apparel and stuff. Right. It all just kind of like mixes together.
Yeah.
It blends together. And that's what I'm hoping happens is as I'm taking these classes, then I'm continuously seeing how they also work with design and then also how I can better myself as an instructor and just letting all that
yeah,
stuff
blend together. I like that you've chosen communication. That's
I'm really excited key. For it.
Yeah. Ashley is the best communicator I know.
So
Ashley, can you talk a little bit more about choosing to be a teacher, to teach design, and coming from working full-time as a designer and being a teacher now, and how you feel more satisfied as a communicator?
Sure. I mean, I got into adjunct teaching actually just haphazardly. I was working at a visual art lab, and an old instructor of mine that I liked a lot, she just came up to me and she's like, have you ever thought about teaching? And I was like, yeah, you know, I just newly graduated, 24 years old. And she's like, and I was like, yeah, sure. You know, thinking like 5 years down the line, maybe. And she's like, well, do you want to start teaching this summer? So that's how I got into teaching. Wow. So I was teaching college classes at 24. And I mean,
I don't think I started till I was like 25.
Yeah, I didn't tell my students how old I was because I look young anyway. And I was like, nope. You know, I'd let them guess my age, and if they said 28, I'm like, that's cool.
Yeah.
We'll go with that.
You actually wanted to be older? So you're like 40
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I think it was like a respect. Think.
Yeah, yeah, somewhere out there someone's like, oh, she looks good for 50.
You look really good for 50.
She aged well.
Wow.
I never thought of that. Oh, gosh. But yeah, I don't know. It's been a really good shift. I think the more that I'm getting excited about communication, the more I just want to, and because we are a fresh industry and we're still making the rules, that I think there's really prime opportunity to establish rules and to, not rules like stringent rules, but I guess maybe,
yeah,
I don't want to say, yeah,
yeah.
like establish ourselves as a field and like that we should be taken seriously. And
see, and that's what sparked my interest about becoming an instructor of some kind. Because I came about it through a different way.
So you're thinking about it?
Yeah, I am thinking about
it. See, I think, maybe we were actually talking about this before you got here. And my thought was, is you were just sitting with your wife and you're like, you teach elementary school? I'm going to teach college.
Yeah. Watch this.
That's how it really went down. You can't convince me otherwise.
Yeah. My kids are bigger than yours. I win. Now, I have seriously thought about it just from the standpoint that similar to what Joe, we've talked about how you made that decision and made that leap, seeing a gap, but no one to fill it, no one there to bring up these issues, to discuss these things, the things that we didn't have discussed or taught to us when we were in school.
Mm-hmm.
And coming about it through a really unique way myself is, while some worked and then became instructors, I worked and then became a keynote speaker talking about a lot of these issues on stage at conferences.
Yeah.
So teaching in short, you know, 1 day to week long instances, and then discussing it a lot on shows, podcasts, interviews, things like that. So in a way, I feel like I've been doing it as sort of that, in that sort of talk show discussion group sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
Bantering about it, but that's after the fact.
And you just want to get paid.
Right. Yeah. Somebody just pay him.
Somebody pay Steve to shut up.
No, I'm kidding, Steve.
But yeah, you know, in a way.
No, we're not paying you.
Right, right.
There's no money here.
I just start, you just hear the door in a minute. Steve just left. But in a way that's like, that's professionals bantering. That's professionals going to a conference, maybe some students for a short period of time. It became more and more interesting to me to do that in a proactive way before they got to
right.
the conference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, having them, some won't make it to a conference, some will. These discussions are being had out in the world. Perhaps I can have an influence at a bit sooner time on the timeline. And it grows more and more. Again, even as a professional, even as a designer, I find myself doing this more and more with clients. That the majority of the time I spend is education. It's teaching them about what we're about to go through.
Mm-hmm.
I've, you know, even to the point of, I've had some clients do consultations with me, and I don't do a lick of artwork. We sit, we talk, we discuss. And so I developed a fee and a time frame and a schedule in which they can sit with me, break out a notebook, and you get everything in my brain if you can pull it out in 2 hours.
Yeah.
Go.
Yeah.
And for them, they get excited about that because it's education. They've never seen or talked about marketing or design or branding in that way because they make widget, they have customers, customers need widget. What's the big deal? Mm-hmm. There's a lot in between. Let's discuss that. Let's talk about how you reach that customer, how you get to here, everything from branding, naming, identity, the difference between all of those. And so I end up teaching a client, and in a lot of cases in the last year, not even doing artwork. Mm-hmm. And so that has become very intriguing to me.
And that's more satisfying?
Far more.
To you?
Far more satisfying. Because again, for some, I know it's a struggle. For some, I know it's like nose to the grindstone of, you know, I know that when you're working hard, not everyone that works hard is a martyr. I know there's a lot of design martyrs out there who use that as just a kind of a tag to be able to say, oh, look at me, I'm working very hard. But some, it does take that long. For me, art, because of how I came about art, drawing and designing and doing graffiti my entire life, the artwork for me is simple. The challenge comes in the thought, and that's what's attractive to me.
Yeah. Well, for me, I learned through the Oxide internship program that I just really like working with students, and it was... Honestly, my friend Kelsey Yanda.
Oh, not when you were an intern there, but like the intern that came after you.
Right, okay. Right. So as an Oxide designer working with our interns, and it was the summer that Kelsey Yanda was there where I realized that I was happier working with her and helping her learn.
I wouldn't want to work with Drew either. I don't blame you. I mean, if you want to talk about that ass hat, we can talk about it.
I don't mean relative to the other people who
are. Oh, there, I'm sorry.
But relative to actually designing.
Totally misheard
right.
that.
Like right. I enjoy design in the right context, but I really enjoy talking about design, mm-hmm. talking about mm-hmm. the thought process mm-hmm. and what it's for, and helping people understand the potential of it is just very exciting for me. Because I feel like it's just, there are so many students who don't understand it. I feel a responsibility to help them see the light.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Well, I'll say this, I think, and I'm going to call you out a little bit, so if we need to, we can take it off the podcast. But when we're talking about, again, I got to keep saying communication, but there's a difference. There's such a satisfying difference between when you're a designer, for me, not teaching, you know, it's like putting a message in a bottle. You know, it could like be a really moving statement. You put it in the bottle, you toss it away, and you hope that somebody reads it and is moved enough to do something, right. you know, with your message, right. with your design, your poster, your mailer, whatever you're doing, your website. Or taking that letter and actually personally reading it to a crowd where you can like see their faces, you can interact with them. And like, that's been a big difference for me between teaching and designing. It's like designing, you can have just as much heart in your message, but it's kind of like it's a selfish thing in some way, you know, because you do get personal satisfaction from it. But I think that's what we're talking about right now. And, you know, and so you get when you're teaching, you get to see, you know, like the influence that's being made, the impact that's being made. You get to have those more personal conversations with people. And Joe, one thing I really, really respect about your teaching that we've talked about is how at the end of your classes, you sit down with the students and you like do that whole presentation where you show them how you've seen them grow and you've seen them learn and you know, call their names out. And that's just something that you can't do as a designer at your desk or I think anywhere else. And so that's cool. I just respect that a lot.
Thank you. Well, in terms of being measurable, being able to be in a class and you start a quarter or semester with a set of students and then you help them work through the understanding of this process and then to see at the end, like, they actually understand it.
Yeah.
That I've never felt better in my life than seeing that happen.
Yeah.
See, I think being a coach intrigued that. I think that got me to thinking about it also as a track coach,
mm-hmm.
taking this kid who couldn't put one foot in front of the other. And now all of a sudden we're at the state meet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, wow, you've been listening.
It brings you to tears.
It does. It's moving. It's really and powerful. So you know, and that's...
Maybe I just had bad students. No, I'm just kidding. I had great students. They were great. They were wonderful.
Well, for me, it's not a selfish thing of like, oh, they were listening, you know, I want them to absorb everything that I say. It's about, like, them realizing their potential.
Right, exactly.
Something that they want for themselves and helping them get there. Mm-hmm. It's just, like, I feel like that's what teaching is for. Like,
Absolutely.
You know what you want. I would like to help you somehow. And then being able to see that progress happen feels so good.
Mm-hmm. It is coaching. Yeah.
In a lot of presentations lately, I've confused some of the organizers because I prefer not to have a presentation. I want to have a conversation with the students.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, can you give us an idea? I'm like, you have to ask the kids. Because whatever questions they ask, I'm okay answering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's for them.
Right.
It's helping them figure things out. I can start with a nugget of truth or what I think is truth, but in the end, that's going to be hitting them over the head and not answering any of their queries.
Yeah.
Right.
So you kind of have to be you have to be brave to do it, but that again is why I was intrigued with becoming an instructor and teaching, because I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. Like, that doesn't freak me out at all. You know, with your classes, I'm up, blurry-eyed.
Okay. What time is your class?
It was so great. It was 8:30 in the morning.
Yeah. I was really hoping to hear like 4 p.m.
Like 4 p.m. Steve woke up blurry-eyed at noon and barely got there. But yeah, it was like, you know, I was so stoked to show up with nothing else in hand but my keys and my phone and set them down, and it was time to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even the kids were a little thrown off by that, because there was like about 45 seconds of, hey.
Now what?
Yeah. You don't have anything to show us?
Yeah.
No? Don't you have questions?
And then they did.
Yeah, they did.
And it was great.
Floodgates opened and we had a great conversation that could have gone on for another hour.
Yeah. We just don't want to pay him for another hour.
Right. Kindly leave, sir.
Well, we don't either, so we're going to take one final break and then we're going to wrap this thing up before the fee starts kicking in. Yeah, so in the next couple weeks, we're going to launch the two YI designs at the same time, because it's Jen and Ken Visacchio Grady.
Nice.
And I realize they're separate ones, but I think I'm just going to launch them together because, I mean, they do everything together. And plus, I think if I launch them separate, people are like, I already saw the Visacchio Grady one.
didn't I listen to that one
already?
Talk.
They're basically both done, and they're wonderful.
Is that
they're
how
really
they sound?
Good.
I guess so.
Yeah.
They sound
really good. And I think part of it is it was one of those when we recorded, it was like they were jet lagged and stuff, and so if you saw them in person, they looked like they were about to just fall over unconscious at any minute. But it was that sweet morning voice, you know, that voice you have in the morning when you're
too funny.
And so if you just hear the audio, it sounds amazing.
Those two are funny.
But if we shot video, it'd be terrible because but the audio is incredible. Their work is great. And they're teaching at Kent State.
Yeah.
And I always forget where Jen teaches, but it's up in the
same
area.
I love those two. They're great. What up, Visacchio Grady's?
And then so we're going to launch that in the next couple weeks. And then after that, the next show will actually be our recaps from the HAL conference, where we're trying to get Steve. He's got to either get really fast at track or get a plane ticket, but we're going to be recording from HAL, so because it's coming in May, which is weird. It's thrown off my whole schedule.
Yeah, because it's normally in June.
Yeah, it's near end of June, and all of a sudden I'm like, it's already? Yeah, it's in like 2.5 weeks or something.
That's the worst.
All right, well, we're not going to be there the whole time. We're only going to be there Tuesday through Friday.
Yes.
Because they moved it. It's now Monday through Friday, and we're not flying up on Sunday like we would have.
Yeah,
but we're really, really looking forward to it.
Steve might not be flying at all.
Move it back.
Yeah.
Move it back to where it was. It was perfect strapped across the weekend.
But I'm interested, too, because they changed it to where rather than a big opening, and the last couple openers were not the best. Mm-hmm. The closers have been fine.
Closers have been good.
Yeah, the openers, I think they had a couple
duds
in there.
Are they doing it now where there's a keynote every night?
There's a keynote in the morning and at night.
Oh.
And they're big name, each of them. So Debbie Millman, like, set up. So they set up, too, where...
Hi, Debbie.
I think it's really set up to where you can do like 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 days.
Right.
And you'll.
So you basically, like, if you do one day, you still get the full conference experience, opening keynote, closing keynote.
Yeah. So I'm interested to see how it comes. I think, I don't know what the attendance is, but it's in Boston, so it's going to be huge.
Yeah, Boston's a good town.
So it's going to be exciting. It's going to be fun anyway. So
they've gone back to Boston quickly.
Yeah, I think they're just doing coast to coast next 6 years.
Well, I wonder if Boston handles it better. You know,
like, I think they get more people there.
Yeah, because this is the third time in the last, what, maybe 6 years?
Yeah.
That they've been back to Boston.
Hmm. Yeah, I think they get attendance there, so it should be crazy. Yeah. It should be fun.
Yeah, it should be good.
So that's what we're doing at 36 Point. Anyway, nice. Thank you guys very much, Ashley, for being on the show.
Yeah, this was fun.
Joe, you're Steve. Welcome.
Redbeard. You got to put some
gray.
Put some gray.
Do you dye the gray in so your students respect you more?
Yes.
Touch of gray the other way.
Yeah.
Little known product that they make.
Well, that's so I don't have to design anymore. This the respect comes from the gray.
Is your beard not distinguished enough, sir? Touch of gray.
It's like an ombre effect from your beard.
It's good.
To your gray shirt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It is.
Uh-huh.
That's good, man.
It's fashion.
So when do you go to grad school? Have you picked one yet?
Yeah, I'm going to the University of Washington, and I also start in the fall.
Oh, yes. Is that in Seattle?
It's in Seattle.
Are you doing it distance learning, or are you actually
I'm moving to Seattle in August.
Dude!
Yeah.
Hell of a way to find out.
Sorry, I thought I told you.
Whatever, you didn't know. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
No, his classes are opening up.
This is the fourth time I've left the studio. People just don't know it.
Yeah. Doors are locked from the inside. He keeps coming back.
Oh, fine. I'll talk in the next segment.
This is also... So last time you were here to record, remember the power we had all those down?
Yes, power outage.
This morning we came in the office. There's just handwritten notes, signs on the door that say part of the power is out. And sure enough, our lights were on, but we only had one outlet with power.
Oh, my God. Come to me. Come with me.
I think they knew you were coming, but it was
dude,
power was
so
back. By noon.
Power was out. The entire building was running off of Donovan's power with an extension cord.
What?
It was seriously Lord of the Flies. And he was the king until that outlet went out.
And we were just wrapping up the podcast. Kevin Carroll started saying something nice. And then since the power went out, it killed our Skype connection. It killed our internet.
Everything went
so off. It was basically like we just hung up on him.
Yep.
I didn't have his phone number, so I just had to text him from
dark.
Phone. Sorry, dude.
Yep. Donovan had to come off of his electricity high horse.
The rest of the podcast was just the clicking of your phone.
And we just, he had to turn the sound on to get the click.
We just found an area like, you know, we just found an area like half a minute before where we could end the show and just started running music over it. So if you thought it ended a little bit. No, we wrapped it up all right.
That was so crazy that one outlet in the whole building worked and you had everything like extension corded through it.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Well, that was like it today too, so.
Was it really?
Yeah, but it was back at noon, so.
That's crazy. You had chemical fires from the cosmetologists over there.
It's been an interesting year.
It is seriously Lord of the Flies over here, man.
Your walls are filling up. Maybe it's time to leave then.
I need a bigger space now.
Yeah.
No, I think we're all right. There's plenty of room left in this place to put more things.
You can start stacking things
in
front of each other.
We're working on it.
Just seeing your wall art is like an archaeological dig. Three layers deep, we have the beginning of 1119.
It looks good, Don.
That's right.
It does. You own this style.
You do, indeed.
Well, we have plenty of room for more stuff, so it'll keep coming in here.
Yes.
So we'll see how it goes.
Yes.
We just had a client make a doggy squeak toy out of a logo we did for him, so that's been added.
Aw,
that's awesome.
So I don't think they've announced him yet, but...
That's killer.
All right. Well, thank you guys very much. So we'll be back at Howe, and catch 36point.com to check out the new YA designs. The Reflex Blue Show with Donovan Beery is hosted at 36point.com. Music by Dustlab. Find out more at myspace.com/dustlab.